Pick your verb. Leapfrogging, jockeying, scrambling, muscling to the front of the pack. They all describe what many states are doing to get an earlier spot for the primary vote in 2008. Today, Michigan's Senate passed a bill to move that state's vote up from February 26th to January 15th. And yesterday, Arizona's governor moved that state's contest to join a crowd voting on February 5th. That date is being called, in a campaign year of escalating hyperbole, Super Duper Tuesday, or the
Tsunami Tuesday primary.
19 states are now scheduled to hold primaries on February 5th. And of course, by state law, Iowa and New Hampshire insist on going first, which means the Iowa caucus could be catapulted into the middle of this December. We're going to hear now from two people who think this free-for-all primary system is flat-out broken and have some ideas on how to fix it.
What we have is a slow-motion stampede toward basically 2007.
That's Rob Ritchie of the nonprofit nonpartisan group Fair Vote. And here's Kentucky's Secretary of State, Republican Trey Grayson.
There's a race to the front of the calendar, which in my view is more like a race to the bottom.
Trey Grayson is co-chair of a committee that's come up with a reform plan for the National Association of Secretaries of State. They want a rotating regional system. They say, divide the country up into four big geographic sections, East, South, Midwest, and West. Preserve tradition and let Iowa and New Hampshire vote first, then
starting in March, each of those regions would have a regional primary month dedicated to those states. The regions allow the candidates to avoid having to crisscross the country. They can focus on the region during that particular month and in the weeks preceding up to that month. The other thing that we do is we rotate it. So whatever region goes first, so for example, let's say the South draws the first month. The South would then move to the back of the line 4 years later, and the next region would come up. So over 16 years, a region would get to go first. And the advantage of that is that whether you're a large state or a small state, you're not going to be locked in to being at the front of the calendar or the middle of the calendar or the back of the calendar. You're going to be at some point always in the front. And the goal is that that would encourage all the states to want to participate.
You'd have a chance at the front once every 16 years. But wouldn't that pretty much disenfranchise huge chunks of the country for those off years when they're not at the front of the pack?
It could, but those huge chunks of the country are already disenfranchised right now. If you're not on February 5th or earlier this time, and I actually am speaking from a state that falls into that category, our primary is in May. We'll have all the candidates on the ballots, and our votes will be absolutely meaningless. And under this plan, it gives all the states the opportunity to at some point be enfranchised and be earlier. And so I think it's a much better system than we have right now. And it's fair to all the states because they're all treated somewhat equally by having that rotating regional system.
If you look at the way the primary system is now, can you see some value to the fact that even though there may be this pell-mell scramble to the front, at least more people will have votes that count, that more there will be more states voting early and that those primary votes will count this time around?
I think you can make that case a little bit. One of my biggest concerns is just while more people may be voting, we're going to see that candidates are not going to really keep you campaigning in all these states. They're going to write off some of these early states. And while the voters might have a say, they're not going to really get a chance to engage with these candidates and have the opportunity to maybe make a more informed decision as you could if the candidates actually campaigned in that state or all of them did.
Well, Trey Grayson, look ahead to 2012 and tell me if you really think that there will be some national system in place for the primary vote that will look very different from what we're seeing in 2008.
I think it'll be very difficult to come to consensus for 2012. My hope, though, is that we can at least come to consensus that the current system is broken, something needs to be done, and we have a very serious discussion over the next couple of years about how to do it, and maybe 2016 can ultimately be the goal. We're going to try our best to try to change and improve the system for 2012, but regardless who's elected president, that person will be running for re-election. And that party or that candidate may not have the incentive to change the rules to make it fairer for other candidates, maybe to open up a primary challenge. So it may be that going through this, we might have to say, all right, let's focus on 2016 because we don't know who's going to be on the ballot in 2016. I think change is coming, just maybe not as fast as I would hope.
That's Trey Grayson, Secretary of State of Kentucky. Now to Rob Ritchie, Executive Director of Fair Vote. He says the regional rotating plan is better than what's in place now, but he likes another plan even better. It's called, how's this for a loaded patriotic name, the American Plan. The idea is smaller states vote first.
It starts off with states that collectively, all of them have no more than 8 congressional districts. So it could be one state with 8 or, you know, 5 states with 1 and 1 state with 3. Some combination of states representing 8 congressional districts. But because of that, relatively small, where retail politics can happen. In the next cycle, 2 weeks later, the number of states voting would collectively have 16 congressional districts, and it would keep going up by 8 until the fourth cycle, when it would jump up to a big enough number that all the states would have a chance to be part of that primary cycle. But otherwise, it's like an inverted pyramid, gradually getting up to where, by the final contest, the biggest number of states or the biggest population states would be voting and really giving the final decision almost certainly about who the party's nominee would be.
So it's ramping up more gradually and it's being spread out over a longer period of time.
Exactly. And so you have a chance for a candidate to stumble and recover, which we've seen historically happen. Bill Clinton sort of stumbled early on with some of the Jennifer Flowers controversy and then was able to recover. You couldn't do that in the cycle that we're going to go through next year. You also could see a candidate jump in and still be able to get in even by the third cycle or some cycle like that. And most of the delegates are still to be decided, so that you could have a more deliberation and more ability to see if the candidates are ready to be that party's nominee.
This all assumes that there is real value to retail politics, to going around, shaking hands, sitting in people's living rooms. Is that an archaic notion, do you think?
I don't think it is. I think talking to ordinary voters is a valuable part of the process. It's not the only value, which is why you want to balance. But I think that it's the time when you get the greatest range of debate about policies, when it's not done through simplified debates and television ads, but through real conversation and interaction with people. And yet at the same time, we're a big nation of 300 million people, so you have to ultimately have big states and big populations in a democratic system having the most value and greatest weight. But you want to have that balance, and that's what I think the American plan achieves.
You know, there are rules, of course, in place now. They're set by the national parties for how this should work, but states seem to be ignoring them right and left. How would you enforce any of this? How would you make a plan stick and have the states abide by it?
Well, part of it is that states are making a rational decision that if they're not early, they won't matter. And they're even realizing that being part of Tsunami Tuesday won't necessarily matter as much as they thought. I think if you have a process that they all believe in and they all collectively within their party choose to adopt, it's going to be a lot more likely that they'll stick to it. So I think that the parties are the place to start the change, and they can do it. That's part of what makes this whole conversation interesting, is that unlike a lot of parts of our politics, it doesn't take congressional legislation, doesn't even take state legislation. That kind of legislation is really more implementation after the parties can come to their own change process. And the Republican Party came very close to adopting a graduated primary schedule back in 2000, the Delaware plan, which is similar to the American plan in that graduated approach. And they almost did it. And we would be having a whole different conversation right now if they had.
Rob Ritchie is executive director of Fair Vote. We also heard from Kentucky's Secretary of State, Trey Grayson.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News.